Hey, how you doing tonight? Well, we got a great show coming up. We've got, I'm doing an interview with Wes Dooley, who's going to tell us all about ribbon microphones and some really cool stuff about his career. He's a really fun guy.
That's right. I'm going to talk about USB versus 3 versus 2. Which way do you go? Does it matter? Do you care?
It doesn't bother me too much, but we'll talk about it. And in my tip of the week, we're going to talk about what microphone you should take on the road, if anything.
Excellent.
So stay tuned. We'll be right with you here on East West Audio Body Shop.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Evening and happy Hanukkah. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam on some sort of crazy video delay in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Right, well, I can hear you. It's all going to work one way or another.
Oh, boy. Well, we're trying out some new software. We did debut the new software last week, but this is the first week where we're broadcasting it. No, actually, this is the second week we've used it. So I have no idea why it's acting wonky. Hey, you know, it's live.
It's live.
What happens when I clap my hands? Nah, it's not too bad. It's catching up. It's catching up. That's just a cheap way to get people to applaud for us.
That's true. So I found the secret is all right, if Skype's not keeping up with you, you just go to go and eventually
freeze.
Oh, hold on, I don't have to do all these pixelating things and stuff. Anyway. Exactly. Oh boy. Well, we just told you what a great show we've got tonight. You know, but it is Hanukkah. Oh, that's right. I was supposed to start off. So we forgot all this stuff. Some of the weird
freaking hilarious.
Now, my son Lewis gave me this, and if he's watching at school tonight out of Oswego, he's going to go, yay!
Oh, yeah, dude.
I don't know where he found this, but
that thing is funny.
I have been getting the weirdest stuff this year. Not that it's different from any other year.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I got this. I got mustache push pins.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Mustache bag clips.
That is obscure.
I mean, well, not that obscure. I mean, people have been sending me pictures of all, you know, these kiosks that have mustache stuff. They're saying it must be Dan Leonard's year or something. And I'm like, well, no, it was my year. It's been my year for the last 6 years.
Actually, the mustache now is the new smiley face.
That's true.
Like wasn't that in the 70s?
Yeah.
When the smiley, now it's the mustache.
Have a nice day. That's right.
It's the mustache.
Anyway, but I can't see a darn thing out of it. So it's not.
Can you get prescription adapters, diopters for those things?
Maybe I could do that. Anyway, I've got my menorah glowing here, and this is the earliest Hanukkah that I can ever remember. I mean, it hasn't been this way since like 1820, and it's not going to happen again for another 79,000 years.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I can't even begin to wrap my brain around it, and I won't try.
Then don't try. But we've got Wes Dooley coming on tonight. Now, you're all wondering, who is Wes Dooley? Well, we've been trying to tell you who Wes Dooley is. He's right. Just a great guy who's had a big influence on the microphone industry, and it's not going to be geeky at all. I mean, he tells a very interesting story about, you know, how he's doing what he's doing and these really expensive microphones that he makes. But it's in front of this amazing display case of every microphone. I mean, I think I've got a pretty good microphone collection. It's nothing compared to what he has.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, they have literally a museum.
It is. It's the best. It's the best microphone collection in the world.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And he said that they were I can't remember if that was in the video, but he mentioned at one point that they were looking for a home for the museum.
I got space right over here.
Yeah, I got a perfect spot.
Anyway, but you're going to talk about this USB 2 thing versus USB 3.
Right.
And does it make a freaking difference?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, well, a lot of new computers, Macs, Windows computers, you know, pretty much it's going pretty well mainstream now that USB 3 is the next new thing. So we're starting to see it more and more now. And I apologize that my picture's not in sync. I mean, I'm not used to seeing myself out of sync. You guys, I don't know what you guys see because you're watching it on the internet.
Just don't watch yourself.
Live. I will not watch myself because it's driving me crazy.
Just talk. Just talk.
The sound is good, though. But the USB 3 is the latest generation of USB. And it is, of course, ridiculously fast. USB 1 or 1.1, which we all used for many years, was like, what, 12 megabits a second, which, believe it or not, is still being used in equipment because, at least in the audio world, 12 megabits a second is still plenty fast to record stereo audio. So you don't end up needing something much faster than that for most audio devices. So we're still using USB 1.1. One or 1.2 or whatever it is, very commonly. USB 2 is what most of the hard drives that you buy these days probably are going to have as an interface. USB 2 is much, much faster. We go from about 12 megabits a second up to 480 megabits a second. So what does that mean? Way, way faster data transfer, like way faster, 40 times faster. Is that right? Yeah, sounds right. About right. Yeah. 40 times right. Faster.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that's been the standard for, what, I don't know, at least six, seven years now. And there are some audio interfaces that do use USB 2. Not that many, but there are a few. The ones that do support it are doing it because they are trying to carry more than just two streams of audio, say a left and a right channel. So some of the more complex or the higher end audio devices are using it. The Apogee Duet uses 2.0. Some of the more multi-channel devices like the Scarlett 16i20, I think it is, or 18i20, whatever. Those use USB 2 because they can carry a lot more data. But now we've got USB 3. And USB 3 takes it to another order of magnitude and speed. And we're talking now speeds in the gigabyte range, like 6 gigabits a second, something like that. So it doesn't matter, though. If your new Mac or your new PC has USB 3 jacks on it, do you use it? Is there a point? Chances are you're not going to be using it for quite a while. If you buy a new hard drive, you may start seeing new hard drives, external drives, that do have USB 3. And if you see one, and it doesn't cost much different from its older last generation USB 2 brethren, go ahead and grab it. It just means that the data that you read and write to your external drive is going to get there a lot faster. Is that going to affect your day-to-day work? Yeah, probably not a whole bunch. And you're not really going to notice a big difference there. But, you know, all these things can add up if you do a lot of work or if you work on an external drive regularly. And if you do production, let's say you move a lot of files around or even do video, then you'll definitely notice the USB 3.0 bump. The good thing, of course, is that in most cases, all this stuff is backward compatible. So if your computer is USB 3, but your other equipment is USB 1 or USB 2, then, you know, it's going to be, yeah, I'll do a lot of gestures because it's funnier, they're telling me. if you're using a USB 3 computer, no problem. It'll work with your older USB 1 and USB 2 devices. Not a big deal. It's all pretty well compatible. Somebody just clarified that USB 3.1, which apparently is the latest update to USB 3, is carrying up to 10 gigabits per second of data. That is really freaking fast. I mean, that is pretty much, that's actually faster than most hard drives can carry data, okay? It's certainly much faster than your network can carry data because most people's networks are a 1,000 or a 1 gigabit per second network. So the point is that we're adding speeds to our networks and our equipment that is so far beyond what most users, especially in our needs, could ever need. That there's just no bottlenecks anymore when it comes to reading data, writing data, sending audio around. In the world of voiceover, there are no bottlenecks. So don't worry about it too much. I mean, do you have a USB 3.0 peripherals in your studio yet, Dan? Hard drives or anything?
I've got one.
Yeah.
I've got a 3 terabyte and I've got a 1 terabyte, just so I have enough terabytes. And but they're both running on, well, one's running on USB and one is running, they're both running on USB actually.
Yeah.
So they're probably not on 3, they're probably on 2 since I'm running a Mac. And Mac doesn't do 2, they only do Thunderbolt.
Right, Thunderbolt, which is also backward compatible with FireWire.
Yeah.
Which I didn't bring up because it's so much less used and I find it to be getting more and more glitchy, but FireWire was capable of a speeds of 400 megabits per second for those who are keeping track at home, which falls somewhere close to USB 2. And then they came out with FireWire 800, which was twice as fast. But now with USB 3 and Thunderbolt and SATA, whatever it is, 3, all these things, they outpace the speed of FireWire tremendously now. So it's just really not that big a deal. Jay says, is it a matter of downloading the latest update to version 3.1? No, because these kinds of updates to the USB standard are what we call firmware or part of the chipset. They are written to the chip. It's either physically an upgrade to the equipment or something that allows these higher speeds. So I don't believe it's just a software update to go from, say, USB 3 to 3.1. I think the equipment has to actually handle it. Now, if you want a really long, boring topic, I'll talk about HDMI sometime.
We'll save that. Yeah, we'll save that for another week.
Oh, my God. It gets really complicated.
Yeah.
So don't worry about USB 3. Not an issue. All your hard drives will handle the data you need to read and write to them. No problem, even at USB 2. And if you do get a USB 3 drive, invest in one that's solid state. The flash drive type drives, or the SSDs, they're often called, get one of those, because then you can really really experience the speed increase. You'll really notice it that way. And if you're copying huge amounts of files, it'll be very obvious.
That's an interesting way to think about that, I guess. I mean, I don't even consider it because I'm using a Mac and Thunderbolt, so it's not even a problem for me. But if you got old drives, they're backward compatible. In other words, is what you're trying to say.
That's right. Pretty much all these new technologies, they try to build in some backward compatibility to make it easier on everybody, so they're not having to upgrade everything every time they buy a new computer.
Outstanding.
So don't worry about it too much.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got lots of interesting stuff going on. I mean, we do have Wes Dooley tonight, and I still have my tip of the week, but we also have a couple of announcements we have to throw out there. We need your input, guys. I mean, we've got there's a bunch of you watching the show now, and I know a lot of you watch it.
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
Thank you.
It's more fun when I don't tell you what's going on, isn't it?
I know, but you can't shake me. It can't be done.
That's the whole idea. I'm trying to testing you.
Okay, but we've had this logo now for 120 episodes.
Yeah.
that I originally did, and then
we spruced it up.
Your brother Steve did a nice job of adding our vector logos in there, and that's kind of nice. But you know, there's some people like, well, you know, it's all right. If you can come up with a better logo for East West Audio Body Shop, we have a great prize for you. We're just not telling you what it is yet. And but come up with a new logo for East West Audio Body Shop. You guys have done great liners for us, and bumpers and jingles. Somebody's got to be a graphic artist out there. Come up with a new logo for the new year, and that should be a fun thing to do. Write it down, because you all seem to forget that, because Monday comes, Tuesday comes, nothing happens. Like, all right, they just totally forgot about us. Make a note in your planner, make new logo for EWABS.
Do what I do, put it in your schedule. That's everything I do, I have to put in my calendar. I'll never do it, so put it in your calendar.
That's right. Sure, it happens. Yeah, plus, we also have the best of show for 2013. guys, we've had great stuff this year. Don't make us pick it all. What was your favorite stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Go back into YouTube, find the episode where your favorite thing was, something that you really remember, something that sticks out. Put down the time code of where it was and go to our website, and there's an actual tab there where you can write it in, and we'll put it on our best of show for the end of the year.
You got it. That's what we have up our sleeve. And
you have no sleeve to go up, though.
Yeah, so yeah, it's right on ewebs.com. You can't miss it. There's an entry form right there to fill it out and tell us what you want to share, what you want us to share with you on the final show of the year.
I mean, I know what the ones I want, but I want to hear, you guys are, we do the show for you, so what are your favorite moments? Yeah. Also, let's see. Well, we've got to run some commercials here, and then we've got some other stuff to do, and we'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop. So do not go away for a second. Well.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Hey, honey. Let's go grab a bite to eat.
I can't. I'm busy.
Are you hiding something?
No, I'm not.
What is so important on Sunday evenings that you can't spend it with me?
Nothing.
Are you having an affair?
Yeah, okay. I was attracted to their smarts. I'm in love with their brains. They talk to me and are interested in what I have to say and what I do all day.
East West Audio Body Shop, no longer the best kept secret.
I didn't know you were into bald guys with mustaches.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a long time, too.
Yeah, I know. And it's still talking about Sunday nights. So I know. Like they're from another millennium.
Exactly.
So update that one, guys. All right?
Yeah, we will.
Anyway, we keep writing those things in. The more you guys participate, the more you buy into the show, and the more it's community, which is what we're all about here.
It makes it so much more fun when you guys participate. We love it.
That's true. Let's see. What else we got going on? Well, we got to thank we have some donors we got to thank. We'll thank them later on, too. Yeah. But Eric Aragone continuing to support us every week. John Taylor, Susan Roberts, David Smith, Jack DeGolia. Did I pronounce that right, Jack?
Yeah, he checked you last week, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. We appreciate that. And of course, our sponsors, which are, VoiceOver Essentials, and they've got a big deal going on this week. It's Cyber Monday, but I think it's going to be Cyber December for him. He's got a special. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Our friends at VoiceOver Extra, and now Edge Studio.
That's right.
They're going to come up with a spot here sooner or later.
I think by 19 or 2014, we'll have some spots from them.
I cannot wait.
Pretty nutty end of the year. Everybody's trying to just keep our heads above water right now.
Yeah. Well, we're doing what we can.
That's right.
Tip of the week. In the forums, people are always like, what should I take on the road with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I got some real bugaboos about that. And, I did a little tip of the week here. So let's roll that and we'll discuss.
You got it.
Oh, hi. I'm sure you know how I personally feel about recording on the road. Look, you're on vacation with your family. You want to be with your family. Or you're on some sort of other trip. But you don't have to always have your recording stuff with you. Besides, what a pain in the butt. You've got to deal with TSA and packing all the right stuff. I mean, how do you decide what's the right stuff to take?
Okay, I understand. Your career is important, but so is your family. And I know there's times when you're asked to do something and you want to be able to deliver. But following auditions on the pay-to-plays when there's so many more when you get home, that seems kind of short-sighted.
But okay, you need to be prepared. But keep it simple. Take as little as you can to do it right.
So let's start off with, what mic should you bring? Well, consider the potential recording spaces you'll have and what you'll need to record there. Perhaps you'll need a Portabooth Plus or a Portabooth Pro. Or you'll be in a hotel room, in which case you'll have to build a pillow fort. Or you might be in your mom's closet. Assume the environment will be less than ideal. The better the mic you bring, the more flaws of that space will be audible. So keep it simple. You have lots of choices. Start off using a USB mic, like the Epygee mic or the Digital Sparky. If you want to be a little bit more complex, there's the iTrack Solo from Focusrite, and everybody's old favorite, the MicPort Pro, which also lets you record with any mic you want. Bringing a top-of-the-line mic on the road is not the smartest thing in the world. You really have to pay attention to how it's handled. The Sennheiser 416 shotgun is expensive, but it's built and designed for travel. And the 416 actually was designed to work with the Portabooth Plus and the Portabooth Pro. And now you have the ability to not just record with your laptop, but also with your iPhone and your iPad, and pretty soon much better with Android devices. So you got lots of choices now. Sounds okay to me, and imagine what it sounds like just using regular software and your laptop.
So think about it. If you really don't have to bring something, don't. However, if you really do, try to keep it as simple as possible, and then you'll have as few problems as possible while you're recording. And that's my tip of the week.
Now, of course, I failed to mention a couple of other shotgun mics that are considerably cheaper than the 416.
Yeah.
Although I love my 416, and as you heard, it just works great with the Portabooth Plus. But there's the Rode NTG series,
right?
And then I guess our friends at
I have one here.
Yeah,
you can't see it, but the AT 875R, which is a relatively recent discovery that I made, is a great, very affordable booth and travel mic.
Yeah,
I have it on a funky clip here, but under $200.
Yeah, but for travel, those are really the best mics to have, especially with the Portabooth, because that's what the Portabooth was designed for. I think that when Harlan came up to it, he was using a 416, and it works great because it's got great side rejection and all that. So that's why you would do that. But I still think, unless you're Bill Ratner or one of these guys that has to be constantly in touch with people, or like Joe was last week when Queen Latifah called.
Promo voices.
Yeah, if you're a promo voice, but that's like the little tiny percentage of the rest of you. Go, you're out of town. Go eat. Go hang out with your family. Go to the pool. Go to the ocean. Go sailing. Whatever it is you do. Why you would go to Disneyland, I'm not sure. But unless you got really young kids. but if you're on vacation, do vacation. Vacation isn't necessarily is always doing something different. That's why it's a vacation. You don't work. You do your own thing.
Yeah, I just got a very nice opportunity to go to Palm Springs for just an overnighter with my wife. My in-laws let us stay in their condo for a night. And just that little getaway. I didn't bring a computer. Of course, I had my phone, so you're never far away from an email. I didn't bring a computer, though. I resisted the urge so strongly to not do any email or any, just like to totally unplug the best I could.
Yeah.
And it was hard. It was really hard. But man, it was so worth it. It was so wonderful. That quiet. Ella was staying with her cousin. You know, she had a sleepover, her first sleepover ever, by the way.
Wow.
And just, that was just gold, you know. So if you can unplug for at least, you know, a few days and not have to do an audition, geez, by all means, skip it.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't bring your stuff with you. Unless your agent says, yeah, we got this big job coming from this big corporation and you're going to do it on this day. You know, I mean, it's the old adage of you want to get voiceover business, make plane reservations.
There are always extenuating circumstances, of course. That's absolutely
right. You know, so you can be prepared, but you can be very minimalist about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be gone for a week or two, I mean, you know.
Finish your thought.
Yeah, you know, when I went to Europe this year, I brought my iPad and I brought a mic, but that was it. But
right.
I didn't do anything. I was out in the middle of the Mediterranean. What did I care?
Yeah, exactly.
So
I'm going to see if this brings the show to its knees. Hang on a second.
All right.
Tell me if, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Can you see me on Skype?
I can see you on Skype.
And everything's in sync?
It is.
Yay!
Well, so far, of course, we're 10 seconds behind. As this thing just blows up and lava starts coming out of my laptop, we'll let you know.
Well, I'm trying. You don't understand, folks. Dan does this show without seeing me in real time. He gets to see me on Ustream like 10 seconds later, like you guys do. But we do this whole show without Dan seeing me. And so for me to be able to turn on the shot that Dan can see on Skype, that's a big deal.
It's
nice. I like to be able to let him see what I'm doing physically and gesturing. The problem is that it puts an extra load on my machine, and now you can see what happens. The video,
it's okay.
Gets out of
you can turn it off.
Sync. So I'll turn it off again.
I've done 119 episodes without it. I can do another 119 without it.
Oh well.
I know what you look like, and I watched the show and replay.
Our quad core i7 Mac Mini only 2 gigahertz. I'm gonna have to upgrade next year. Go to the next generation.
Yes. Anyway, we've got Wes Dooley coming up in just a couple of minutes, and you do not want to miss it. Great interview. We had a great time with him. So stay right where you are, and we'll be right back.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
If you have studio problems, bring them here to eWABS. Let's get back to more problems with Dan Leonard and George Whittam.
Well, that was interesting. Thank you for freshening that up, Mr. Whittam.
No problem.
You know, I got to do a new spot. We have to advertise Studio Suit. However, Studio Suit has crippled me for a little while here.
Yeah, you literally put all your blood, put some serious blood, sweat, and tears into that product.
Yeah, no, I was at the orthopedist this morning. The shoulder is the cortisone is actually starting to kick in a little bit.
Oh, good.
I can actually work it. I mean, you know, they took an x-ray and he's like, well, you know, you don't have a torn rotator cuff, but I see a lot of arthritis in your shoulder, which is a result of a hockey injury like 35 years ago. It's like somebody boarded me. I was a goalie and I,
oh jeez,
my collarbone got ripped off of my clavicle and it was nasty. So it's going to bother me when I'm 65 or 70 or whatever. Anyway, let's get to the meat of the matter. Great interview here. Don't go away. Watch this interview with Wes Dooley from AEA Electronics. Roll it. We're here with Wes Dooley at AEA, and we're talking about microphones. Tell us a little bit about how your company got started and some of your basic background in microphones, of which we see some marvelous examples of here.
Well, I got started in this because my freshman year of college, there was all the things freshmen could do, including volunteering at the radio station. And the cartoon on the wall for third class was, 2 weeks ago I couldn't spell engineer, now I are one. And so I became a board operator and helped out with a friend's radio show who was a class before me, a guy I knew who did really wonderful stuff. And then the next year I started doing my own radio show, and I did that for 3 years. But it got boring, so I got on the phone and talked Clancy Brothers, Tommy Makem, to stay after 2 at the Troubadour, and I pulled the Ampex 350 out of the console and put it in the back of my 52 Pontiac and took the announce mic, the 664 Electro Voice, put it up on stage and had all this stuff all exposed with 117 volts so people could kill themselves, right. And we recorded on my one reel of tape. And later that one reel of tape became Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee or Lightning Hopkins. And I thought things were wonderful because I got to 2 reels of tape and then you could do a longer and pick. But I didn't know anything about, you might want to syndicate and use this later. You might actually want to listen to it some other time. Right. So when I do workshops today, I tell people, save everything, keep good notes so you can find it, like photography. And in doing that, I wound up the Ice House, the Ash Grove, and the Troubadour, and I wound up taking care of their sound system some of the time. And I recorded, of course, there. And I ran into a guy who didn't have a quarter-inch two-track. No, he had a half-inch modified 350 with 3 tracks, and he could record left, center, right. Well, I was so impressed.
Now, what year was this?
Oh, this would have had to have been around 63. Okay. And this is Wally Heider, and he was working at the time for Bill Putnam at a famous studio, United Western, before Wally started his own studios and reinvented remote recording as we know it. Mm-hmm. But Frank Dimitio, who's chief at United Western, and Wally were recording Jackie DeShannon, and they had the band left, right on the outer tracks and her in the center so they could remix slightly. And I thought that was so cool, and I helped them load the truck, and they said, oh, would you like to come next week and we'll pay you money to be at a club in Hollywood, and we're going to do Johnny Rivers? I said, I'll do that for free. And they said, no, we'll pay you money. Not knowing at the time that if you're 21 and can lift things up to the tail of a rented bobtailed truck, that the guys who are 50 and 55 think you're a wonderful person to have around. So now my motto when I'm up in that age is give it to the young folk.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting there myself some days, and you know, I have him carry the stuff.
So how did you get into the microphone business?
Well, Wally was the one who put me on to Ribbon Mics, because for Stan Kenton, any of that, he'd have Ribbon Mics up. Now, I'd record Stan Kenton at things I'd do personally, like the Reno Jazz Festival or the Jazz Festival out in Redlands. And I used nothing but Neumanns because I was modern and young.
Right.
And I'm so modern and young that I got rid of my tube mics, my U47 and my 67s, and went to U87s and KM84s. And I was very lucky that the KM84s were actually quite good music mics, whereas the U87 has its own character, but is not one of my favorite microphones. It's what I consider a microphone that if you have to be in someone's face, you want it. But if you want to do long-term listening, it's probably not your choice.
So what turned you on to ribbons?
Well, Wally put ribbons up, and Stan Kenton would say, Wes, these are great recordings. But he always hired Wally. Now, part of that was they were long-term friends. And Wally had great ears. And I looked at the range of mics that Wally put up because Wally taught me that you take and put the mic up and move it around till it sounds right. And the long and the short is that Wally used ribbons. Stan and others liked Wally's recordings better than mine with all FET condenser mics. I figured there was a flavor there that I should pay attention to. If you were going to start it again, what would you do? And our favorite was the 44. It's consistent mic. It's the mic that crooners came from.
44 here.
And it just, you know, it became my favorite. And I started to understand, oh, that was what Wally was doing when he said, don't EQ, that's an emergency measure. Put your mics where they sound good. If they don't sound good, change the mics. And if the whole mix doesn't sound good, even though your job is to get out of the way of the musicians and record from the moment they show up till the moment they leave, if it doesn't sound good, stop it then, because it's never going to be easier to fix it.
Right.
Fixing in the mix is not fun.
Right. So what did you do with the, you know, from the original design of the 44? What did you do to make it, to update it to, you know, the standards that you wanted? I mean, it looks the same. It's obviously used the same blueprints. But what did you change? What improvements did you make that they talked about?
Well, we're now, at this point, 15 years down the path from the first time we took that we had 100% spare parts for a 44 and reissued them in 98. And that was just an extension of our service work that had been going on since 76 and the fact we couldn't get parts, so we had to make parts. And we decided, in 95, I was thinking about it, and I talked to people. I was in chemotherapy because I didn't want to be in my body at the time. And most people I know are audio people. And I said, what do you think we do here? What do you think I do? And they said, oh, you're the ribbon mic guy. Because I'd been doing these since 76 and the BBC mics, like the lip mic for E&G work.
The Coles, yeah.
4104 STC and then Coles, actually originally a BBC design.
Yeah.
And the 4038 with the same history for a music mic. And the end point was, oh, if everybody thinks I'm the ribbon mic guy, and that's the most fun of anything I do, I wonder if I still live, you know, in a year or two, if I could do that as what I'm doing. So I went to 100% spare parts, which turned out, like most things, to be much harder than you ever imagine.
Right.
And then people listened to it, and as one engineer, Sean Murphy, who does all of John Williams' work, said, it's the only one other than U67s made out of new old stock parts and reissued that actually sounds like the original. So we weren't trying to make it something different. I had a mic that had belonged to a technical friend of mine who invented time energy frequency measurement, Dick Kaiser. Mm-hmm. And then after he died of a cancer that was pretty much the same one I had, head and neck cancer.
Me too, by the way.
Oh, my. I am happy you're here.
I'm happy I'm here too, to tell you the truth. I can totally relate.
Yeah. So that next went to Dick Rosmini, a wonderful musician who also was the project manager for all the tape machines, the 80-8, the Porta Studio, the Model 5 console that took recording out of the big studios like United Western and into homes and into inexpensive studios. And so he had that, and then he got ALS when I was in cancer treatment, And he had me sell his mics off, and I said, I'd like to buy that one because it belonged to a dear friend, Dick Heiser. It belongs to you. I'll leave it with you till you're passed. But, and then I took it apart and measured everything and took my junior high school drafting and actually made pencil sketches that I could take to local job shops.
Right.
And Southern California is a wonderful place. I tend to work with guys who are hot rodders because they're very good. One, I get to talk hot rods. And two,
they can machine parts.
They can machine or they can do this part.
The chrome work.
Yeah. The part for this was done by some BBC guys because no one wanted to really tackle this part. And some BBC guys I knew in R&D said, oh, we could do this as a Saturday project. Yeah, we've done that sort of stuff before. That's not too difficult. And so I have a English fly press that I use, and I made the first 100 or so of these. I made all the grills.
Wow.
So this was very much a labor of love.
I can see that.
We went from there to some of the parts we make. This is the shape of the 77. This is the Phantom-powered 84. The one with the silver is the passive, the R series, like an RCA, as opposed to ones that are active,
right?
A series. And this was in 2002 when I looked at it and said, the kids have to go to school and my wife's a school teacher. How am I going to make enough money off this wonderful hobby that I had with these, with spectacular reviews from everybody who tried them, from people like a John Williams engineer off to people like Pete Townsend.
Yeah.
So the end of that was better design something that my married friends can afford.
Makes sense. Now, most of our audience deals strictly voice, not with music, and dry voice.
Right.
Why would they want, say, a ribbon and any one of these designs, and what might be the best one for, say, not the best acoustical situation, but will make them sound like them?
Well, the ribbon mics, especially the big ribbon in the 44 tradition, are the definition of how does it sound? It sounds like being there. And that's for everybody from voice people to musicians. They all say the same thing. However, there's a big thing for voice people that allows you to have technique. And as one reviewer in England said, without the ribbon mics, there would have been no crooners. There would have been no voice actors. Because you want to make yourself sound like you're going away. Well, what you do is you just start going over here, and you're still talking at the same level, but at this point, you sound like you're somewhere else entirely.
Right.
And you come back here, and you've walked back into the room, and you're not talking from the other room. And, of course, if you have two of these at right angles, you can have four actors around, and they have good eye contact, but you have total isolation because these have a plane of
a null plane.
A null plane,
yeah.
Instead of a point. A cardioid has a point of silence. These have a plane of silence.
Wow.
And there are times, especially in trying to do dialogue for movies and such, where we'll take a figure eight and put it under the actor like this, because we'll have outside noise from the roadway and such, and we need to do a quick insert because the helicopter went over or the motorcycle went by. And you can do this and take out the horizontal horizon noise sources and be just tucked in here and getting the voice here. So that plane of silence sometimes has big advantages compared to a point of silence.
Yeah. What's the technique with a mic like this? Now, when I was in radio back in 1980, 1981, and I used the 77DX,
right,
which was a marvelous microphone, we did it very close proximity. Joy, FM 96. But
But for, thank you so much for having me on your show tonight.
It is such a joy to be on this station. I listen to it so much.
Yeah.
Yes, you can do a show this way.
Right.
And what's nice is
we have a wonderful, we have just a heart-touching move. Well, I can't use up too much time because we got to get to the ads. Right. But this girl called in. Such a nice dedication. And so, Char, here's for you. There's nobody else like you. Roll it. And you do that by getting the intimacy right. you get. And that's the whole thing of being able to do voice acting, not only being able to move over to the side,
right.
but be able to get the bass. Because you can do things with a ribbon that you can't even start to do with a condenser. One, the highs, the little frictives, the things, they don't accentuate because it's not a tight drum head that you're working with. So you can get in really close and not have it sound hyped, pushed in your ear.
And the
it just sounds
effect.
Intimate.
Right, and the proximity effect with the lower
brings the bass up.
Right.
And so that's why singers like Sinatra or Crosby, who owned his own 44, they always had their hand on the bottom of the mic because it weighs 8 pounds,
right.
so they're not going to hold it, but they want to know where it is so they can be paying attention to the audience and the music, but still know where it is. Because if what you want to do is say, New York, New York, my sort of town, you want to be back here. You don't want the bass. You're belting.
Right.
And if you want to be singing to the girl in the front row, but you want the girl at the back row feel like she's in the front row, you want to be up here saying, I am so happy to be with you all tonight.
And that's it. You can do things with a ribbon. You can't do with anything else. It doesn't have a top end that ever gets aggressive, but even these mics go out to 30 kilohertz. And the end result is that if you're trying to do long-form material, you can do things with ribbons that people are so much more comfortable listening to. And if you're doing ballads as opposed to rock, there's just amazing things that you can do in terms of the feel that you can get across. And that's why they're all the different mics in this collection here, all the mics we make, so that you can have the right mic for the right situation. And Wally Heider taught me that. You want to have the right mic for the right situation, and the ribbon mics were really important. And so I didn't forget that. And in 76, we started supporting that. In 84, we started importing the STC Coles ribbon mics. We got training from the factory and from Ian Haight, who was put in 40 years as the BBC's guy doing ribbons. And we then, in 98, went 100% spare parts on our favorite American mic, the 44. Our favorite ribbon mic, period, actually, because once you've worked with something that's this much streamlined, modern, Art Deco, we have people like Dolly Parton who just, you know, she fell in love with it when she started doing the Grand Ole Opry, and that was the mic at the front.
Right.
And to the point where, you know, Dolly Land, there's one in the collection there.
For someone who's can't afford like a $2,000 mic, what do these go for? And will these work really well for voiceover?
They all work really well for voiceover, although in general not the stereo mic. Our microphones are everything from about $750, $785, I think, to be exact, on up to you can spend $5,000. And the passive mics, there's three in a family for the mono mics. And they all use the same ribbon. Here's the 92. This is grandson. Now, this one, and then the passive version, this one, the 44 CE. These run from $785 to you can spend $2,500 and get the guts, but not the finish.
Right.
And you can spend more and get into having active. When you have the gold trim, you're now talking about microphones with active output, which means an M-Audio can run it.
Right.
And that's just so you don't have to go to a specialized preamp.
Yeah, right.
Because we make preamps that sound good on everything from M150s on scoring stage to dialogue mics for books on tape. And that's a wonderful thing, but there are times when people just specifically need active mics, and that's one of the things we've been working with.
This is fascinating because, you know, we talk about these things on the show all the time about trying to sound like you and what's the most natural way to sound. And it sounds like, you know, people should think about, you know, maybe using a ribbon. People talk about using a ribbon every now and again, but now I completely understand why you should. And I have ribbons in my collection, and I occasionally drag them out when somebody needs someone to do Franklin Roosevelt or something like that. Right. I have nothing to fear but fear itself, and you do it over a ribbon, and it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
But for general voiceover work, I can see where the utility might be in having one of these in your locker to do that kind of thing.
Well, the thing that was best stated was a studio in Connecticut who has a large collection of condenser mics and likes to do some music work with that, but finds that a lot of their daily work is corporate. And they get people coming in, and the corporate people know what they're saying, they can read it, and they want to use these people. Mm-hmm. Especially when they're high executives, they have a little bit of, why can't I do that?
Right.
So what they do is they put their 44 up on the corporate voices because it gives them an instant sense of authority, and they become believable as voices. And for long-term things, the smoothness at the top end is much less fatiguing. I'll put up for 50 seconds sometimes with somebody, but I prefer to be down about 15 seconds if they're trying to tell me why their sale on liquor this weekend is the wonderful thing and get on down here.
Right.
But, you know, people can change the channel,
right,
or decide to listen to something else. And anything that's longer form, if you're not trying to just get the people tuning across, oh, what do you say?
Right. So for long format, it's far less fatiguing.
They say for any of the corporate stuff they do and for long format, they just go to the 44.
Wow. This is an interesting point for a lot of people are doing audiobooks now, and now this suddenly becomes an interesting option that some people should think about.
Right.
Very good. Wes, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Wonderful being in this amazing museum, you know, being a microphone freak myself, but
we sit here oftentimes because we can discuss it and say, oh, well, I really like the shape of,
right,
but the sound has a problem. But if we changed it like this, maybe we could do something with that. Because we're looking at literally 100 and some years of design time, just design time looking at this stuff. And yes, we all kind of remember what things are, but these are what things are. So we look at here and say, well, I really like the shape of the Shure 300 series. But then again, I don't like this part of it. And it's no fun at all to change the ribbon.
Right.
And then the Electrovoice mics there. Well, Electrovoice did a pretty nice job on them, except they just, no one's very excited about them for music. So we kind of ignore them other than collector pieces. But many of the mics from RCA, and my favorite being the 44,
right,
people still find today that they do a spectacular job of sounding like the music or sounding like the voice.
Right.
This mic here, the KD3A, BK5, done by General Sarnoff for his friend General Eisenhower, mm-hmm, for the getting on the road and talking to the audiences while he was running for the nomination.
Yeah. Yeah.
The earlier ones, the KU-2s,
the
Veracoustics, these are all done The skunk being the KU2, the polecat being the brown one, the KU3A. We do a KU4, which is everything we know about that mic, plus it's more consistent. And consistency is one of the things that we do. Everything's made here within, generally, parts are made within a 30-mile radius of here, and they're actually all assembled and tested here. So we're pretty committed to the RCA tradition of, does it sound like what it's in front of? Does it do this for a really wide variety of music and voice so that it can be used on everything? So it's a good investment. And will it last basically forever?
Wes, it's been a pleasure. And thank you so much for being with us today on East West Audio Body Shop. And I'm in the presence of greatness in the presence of greatness.
We're just lucky that we get to work in this tradition. And year after year, people come to us and say, I couldn't do what I now do, which I'm so excited about, without the tools you've provided.
Right.
And that just feels so good, that in the service work we do and in the microphones we make, that we can contribute to this tradition that started with my uncle at WEEI Boston in the 30s and well before.
Right. Very good. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Here it is, my Electrovoice EV3, the good one with the variable resistance in the back of it. But this is a ribbon. Now I've got a huge collection here. I mean, it's a pretty amazing collection. Nothing compared to Wes's, and that's not even Wes's. It's just he's sort of the caretaker for that one. Can you hear me, okay, George?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right.
So you can hear that, you know, it's a little mellower than say the VO1A, which is the voiceover microphone, by the way. The voiceover microphone. But this was a broadcast mic, and as Wes was saying, it really wasn't for singing all that much, although I'm sure it was used. But they're great microphones. There are lots of the old ones are sitting around. The ones that they make at AEA are really, really nice. But that was awfully nice of him to invite us into his workshop there, and we had a great time with him.
Yeah, that interview was actually a lot longer than that. I mean, he spoke for a solid hour, because that's just the kind of guy he is. He just loves to share his stories, you know. And Dan did a great job trying to make it a little bit, you know, packaging it down for the show, you know. But it was awesome. I would go talk to him anytime.
Yeah, well, we had such a great time with him. He really liked us because we actually understood what he was talking about, and we were in rapport with him, and he was happy to have us there. But he's sort of a jolly kind of guy anyway. But
well, you can check out their latest mic if you do want to try a mic that really is designed for the home studio user. So it means it's more compact, it's built to take a little bit more abuse, and it can work with less gain, so it'll work with like your MicPort Pros or your M-Boxes and Scarlets and stuff. Their newest mic just came out at the AES show. It's called the N22. N as in Nancy. Give that a look. It's about $800. It's still not a cheap mic by any means. But if you want something totally different from your, you know, your typical condenser mic, you know, it might be something to check out. Remember, Ribbon mics, almost all of them anyway, except for one particular one, which I've got a mic that Dan doesn't have.
Wait, you've got that Cole's lip mic?
It's sitting here, and I won't tell you why I have it, but I just have this mic in the box. This is a Ribbon microphone. It's a Cole's, what they often call the lip mic, because it has a little bar across the top, and the reporters would put this on their lip like this and talk into it. And
it was for golf, like, and he's coming up to the 19th hole now, and
Well, it was for any outdoor sports reporting, because this microphone has a huge amount of background noise rejection. So it's amazing how it will work in a really, really bad acoustical situation. So like, if I was to see, I don't even know if this is going to work. I'll crank the gain way up and see, because it takes a lot of gain. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I hear it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have the gain wide open, trying to give it all I can. But As you can hear, you no longer can hear the computer fan noise in the background that's normally in my room because, you know, my computer is about to explode trying to do this show. Oh, now I got Dan's buzz. I'll pot him down for a second. But as you can see, you know, the microphone is designed literally to be rested against the lip like this. And this is an unusual mic because it's designed to reject sound on all sides. But the mic that Dan's using, his is a figure eight pattern mic, so it picks up sound on both sides, as he was explaining in the video.
Well, you can pop me back up here, and I can.
I did.
Okay. So, yeah. So this is the front of the mic. This is the side of the mic, and then this is the back of the mic.
Wow,
so
it's amazing when you go off mic how it goes away.
Yeah. Well, he talked about the null play.
Exactly. Well, I'll show you. Well, I'll speak into the front of this mic.
All right.
The side of the mic, the back of the mic. There's a little note in the back, right. But on the side. There's almost nothing. Then I'm back in the front of the mic again.
Right. And then the same thing with this. But you were able to do an interview with this mic with one person on one side and one person on the other side.
Which was a really cool thing. I mean, again, not the most ideal voiceover mics. But if you want a different flavor, a different sound, and they do have a lot of reach, so you don't have to have the mic so close to you.
Right.
And, you know, it could be a lot of fun. And if your studio acoustics are good, it's going to sound awesome.
Right.
You know?
Which I think brings us to our question for the night.
Oh, that's right. We do actually have a question having to do with acoustics.
That's right.
Here you go. Let me play it for you. This came in from Yvonne Schwemmer. Here you go. Oops.
Hi, Dan. Hi, George. Yvonne Schwemmer here. Could you address what the differences in acoustical foam shape make to a recording sound, whether it's wedge or egg crate or pyramid, various names for different shapes, but how does one go about choosing the appropriate shaped foam for one's own recording space? Thanks.
Well, you go first, Hugo.
Not much.
Exactly.
Makes almost no difference.
It makes no difference. And of course, we've solved that problem with Yvonne because she now owns a studio suit.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what shape it is because it really doesn't matter. I mean, they have the pyramidal and they've got the wedge and it makes no difference. It absorbs sound. You know, I'm sure some rock musicians go, oh man, no, it's a little different. You know, it has a totally different thing on my voice. Yeah, but he's screaming into his mic and he needs that. But
yeah,
I think for voiceover, it's not really that critical.
I think there's a very, very minute difference. I'm sure that the folks at Oralex would argue with me on that. And they will. And Sonics, they make their own really unique pattern as well. But I don't think it makes that big of a difference. Very, very little.
And they don't sponsor our show, so.
Yes, we are fair and balanced around here.
We are indeed.
That mic I was holding up to my face is the Kohl's 4104B. The 4104B, if anybody was wondering what that mic was.
Make a note of that and we'll carry on from there. Okay. Well, that answers that question. Send your questions in. Call them in. Write in. You got questions? Let us know. There's nothing we can't answer.
That question came in through their website. We have this new feature called the Speak Pipe, and you can record an audio sample. Now, we've got a couple other questions that have come in, and some of the quality of the audio from some of them is really pretty bad, so I'm not going to play them on the air. But if you can get your audio squared away and send us in a sample, a question, we'd love to answer it on the show. Try to keep it under 30 seconds if possible, and we'll play it on the air and answer it live here. So thanks again, Yvonne, for sending that in.
Yes. Okay. Hey, by the way, if you want a clicker, the official East-West Audio Body Shop clickers. Wow, this thing has a great macro focus on it.
Isn't it amazing?
I love that. Great for, you know, when you're recording, you make a mistake, you know, gives you two real distinct lines. $5, we'll send them to you.
Eventually.
Please be patient. If you send it through PayPal, we get your address. We just put them in an envelope, and off they go. And I know our friend Carol Spencer Morgan is waiting intensely for hers, as it's. I put it on a little Contiki boat.
Coming by Albatross.
Through the South Pacific. It'll get to her there in Australia any moment now. Keep watching. A Maori warrior boat will come floating in with it. What the hell is this thing? Anyway, actually, that's my mustache wax. Somebody was asking about the mustache wax, and there it is. Just got to get a new one of those.
All right, this show's devolving quickly.
It is. Well, it's because we've been doing too many shows in a row. But
yeah, we're getting, our brains are getting mushy.
Yeah, so next week, December 9th, a wonderful young lady, Karen Sauer, will be with us.
It's wonderful.
She's going to talk about virtual assistants, which will be helpful for the new year in 2014. So more business stuff that maybe that'll help you. And Karen's a personal assistant herself and helps a lot of us voice actors. Let's see. December 16th, Rob Siglampaglia, our legal eagle, our VO legal eagle, will be talking about year-end legal tips for voice actors. You know, he's a lawyer, actor, voiceover actor, wrote a book, and he is a floor wax. And so we'll be having him on. December 23rd, we're going to have a holiday hangout with the Whittem family. So you're going to be in Philly.
That's right.
So we're going to do a hangout. He'll be in Philly. I'll still be here in Buffalo unless we go running off somewhere. Who knows? So we'll do a hangout on December 23rd. So make your reservations for that. December 30th, our end of the year favorite bites from 2013. Submit your best ofs on the ewabs.com website. Do it, please. You had your favorite ones. Then on January 6th, this is how far ahead we're well-planned, how well-produced this show is. She's done a great job. Kathy Curdin is doing a great job. Bob Bergen will be with us. And there are more and more auditions for animation cartoons and video games. How to practice animation sounds with placement of tongue, nose, mouth. So we're going to see where Bob puts his tongue and his nose. And see what happens with that. Anyway, well, you can give the closing remarks and thank our sponsors. I've been talking too much tonight.
No problem. I've been letting you talk because I'm tired of seeing my picture out of sync. But anyway, okay. Thanks again to all of our sponsors for the show. Harlan Hogan has been there from the very beginning. And do check out his Black Friday Cyber Monday deal that he's got going on right now. HarlanHogan.com/sale. Is that what it was? I believe it was. Yes, harlanhogan.com/sale. That's where the coupon code is and everything.
Save $100.
You can save up to $100 on Harlan's cool equipment, cool gear. So thanks for helping us out, Harlan. VoiceOver Extra for promotional consideration and helping us spread the word. And right. Edge Studio, my employer, and thanks for really helping the show. Keep moving forward and improving our equipment and, you know, all that kind of stuff, making the show sparklier and nicer to watch and listen to every week.
That's right. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. You know, we figured, you know, you ate all last Thursday. We had to give you a feast of information tonight. And I think we've done that.
Very nice.
So anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittem in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Well, 6 days, sort of.
Cheers.
Bye.